I think we're on. Sounds good? You can all hear me? Some of you are old enough. I'm probably a little bit, it was probably even before my time, but a phrase that you often heard was, "Hey, Joe, what do you know?" Go back to the war years. I was just a little tyke at that time. Now you've heard people, when they're conversations, they use this phrase, you know. I had a client the other day, and she just kept going on, and she'd say a few words, says, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It's a common expression. And I want to talk a little bit about getting to know and knowing and that sort of thing. God has blessed my life in many ways over the years. I've been saved about 48 years. And I didn't even know it or recognize it at the time. There were things in my life, even before I was saved, that I didn't realize that God was blessing me. I didn't count it a blessing at the time. You probably can say the same things. But I kind of off the track here. Do you remember the movie Kung Fu Panda? And I don't know how many have seen the movie Kung Fu Panda. Nobody's seen the movie Kung Fu. You've had seen the movie. The famous line, or at least the line that stuck out to me was, well, he says, "There are no accidents." Everybody couldn't believe that this panda was supposed to be the one who would be trained to defeat the violent enemy, this tiger. But turned out, he was right. There are no accidents. And that's true in life. We use in the Christian realm the word Romans 8:28 and I like the NIV version for it. It says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." All things work for the good of those who love him. And God was working in my life even before I knew him. We don't say good luck to people because it's just, there's no such thing as luck. I like the little card that says, "Just remember, you're not in charge and God ain't sick." It's true. Things I would have considered a curse in my life that I now have to say was probably a blessing. My growing up years, I tell people, was a very moving experience. Yeah. Every year, a different neighborhood, a different school. Always the new kid on the block. And when you're a red-haired, freckled-faced kid with a strange name, life can be tough. Life can be tough. But the reality was, God was protecting me. As I was going along in my life, I never formed any real close friendships because I was never there the following year. Not until I got into Boy Scouts and into high school. My good buddy Carl Festi and I used to pal around together, and we're still good friends. After I got saved, I prayed for Carl that he'd get saved. I had a chance to talk with him when I came down from the service one time, and before he went up to Astoria and like that, and he just could not get a handle on the gospel, and I prayed for him for many years. And it was about 8 years ago, he called and said, we talked to his wife, and she says, "You know, Carl and I got saved. We've been baptized." And that just thrilled my heart that God worked in him, praying all those years. We pray for people, and we never know if God's going to save them. My dad was probably on his deathbed before he really accepted the Lord. We pray for Joan's mother. We pray for her brothers. We pray for my brother Andy, my sister Kathy, others that we pray. Don't give up praying, because God may still answer those prayers. I was never in that in crowd because I was a new kid on the block. I didn't get sucked into the things that the other kids were doing, the smoking, the drinking, and the fooling around, and the stuff that they were involved with. God kept me from that. And that I have to say was a real blessing for my life. When the Lord took my first wife, I couldn't understand that. After 39 and a half years of marriage, boom, she was gone. I was getting ready to celebrate our 40th anniversary in July that following year, and God didn't let us get to that point. Why? I don't know. I'll have to ask him when I get up there. Lord, why didn't you at least get our 40th anniversary under our belt? But no, he had his reasons. I say sometimes that maybe he had his mansions ready and he needed the seamstress up there to do the interior decorating. So God has his purpose. But then 2 years later, within a year or so, I'm realizing when I'm walking and talking with Joan, you know, Leonard, and his wife died, and he liked to hike, and Joan liked to hike, and I liked to hike, and so we started walking and talking, and we found out after a very short time that, hey, we were born in the same town, both red-haired freckle faces, both like nature. We love the same movies, the same books, the same joys in life. We were like two peas in a pod in a lot of ways, yet her life was entirely different than mine. My life took an entirely different direction. She has been places and seen people and knows people that I never dreamed of knowing, and yet God has put us together, and it has been absolutely wonderful. We just celebrated our third anniversary, December 27th. We went back to the hotel in the gorge where we had our honeymoon, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful to be there, and each day I'm getting to know her better. And really, it should be that way as we get to know the Lord. We need to get to know him better. And I wonder, you've seen some couples that they know each other so well. They almost know each other, what each other is thinking. They'll complete each other's sentences if one gets stopped. And they anticipate each other's needs, and they meet those needs before the person has to ask. And have a relationship like that is really, really a blessing. And God knew I needed someone like Joan in my life. I don't know what he has in store for us in the future, and that's our prayer. Lord, what do you have for us? What should we be doing? We're getting to retirement years. She's retired. I'm semi-retired. Once my debt is cleared, we'll be kind of free to do whatever God would have us do. Where we should go, I don't know. You ever heard the song, "Do you like piña coladas? Taking walks in the rain"? How many have heard that song? Okay. Do you know all the what's behind that song? If you've listened to the words real closely, it's about a guy and a gal who are living together, and he's getting kind of bored in their relationship, and he gets online. And sees this line, "Do you like piña coladas?" He responds to this person, and they correspond back and forth, and they finally, he didn't really think it was a good idea, but he decided to meet this gal, set up a time at a restaurant. He's sitting there waiting. Who should walk in but his significant other, the girl he was living with. Here they were living together, but they didn't know each other. They really didn't know each other. And found out, the more they talked, they found out, hey, maybe we do have something going here if we just gotten to know each other. I think we have to spend time with the Lord in that way. I think we need to spend more time getting to know Him and to know what He wants. There were people in Jesus' day who said, Matthew 7, I got it open here. There's a couple passages like this, and 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, and you know the illustration of the wise man building his house on the rock and the foolish man building his house on the sand. There are people who have an intellectual knowledge of God and the Lord, but they don't really know Him. They haven't really acquired Him. They haven't come into close fellowship with Him. And to them, when they get to heaven, He's going to say, I don't know you. I want to be sure that we know the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13 is whether, Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, someone says, to examine yourself in that passage, or to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. How could a Christian not know whether they're in their faith or not? That's that head knowledge that really doesn't translate into their actual life. I've met people like that. And I meet them every day when I'm on my job. They may have an intellectual knowledge and a belief in God and in Christ, but it's never translated into a personal relationship with Him that affects how they live, or they wouldn't be in the situations that they're in. There, that's a bad thing to say. Don't want to end a sentence with a preposition. I get mad at people when they do that, where they say, where are you at? Where are you is all you have to say. You don't have to put the word at on it. That's personal. But we're supposed to examine ourselves. And someone has said, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's a sobering thought. Is there enough evidence in our life that we are a Christian? Do we know the Lord? Sometimes you can see it on a person's face. I remember in Chattanooga, Tennessee, there was a guy, a colored fellow, came into the shop where I was working. He just walked across the room, took care of his business, and left. A week or so later, he came back in, and I saw him again, and he looked at me, and I walked over and says, you're a Christian, aren't you? He says, yeah, and so are you. We could tell just by a glance that we both knew the Lord. It should radiate from our lives that we know the Lord. It shouldn't have to be even asked. But to really know the Lord and to be in His will is to be on His team, so to speak, is to be ready to do and do exactly what He says when He says to do it. Charles Stanley uses the illustration or uses the phrase, obey God and leave all the consequences with Him. It doesn't have to be logical. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to make sense when God tells you to do something. Just do it. But I've never heard His voice in that way. I've had times when I sense He wants me to do this, that, or the other thing. And sometimes it's shown to be perfectly true. And sometimes maybe I've got the wrong cue or something. But we're in a body of believers. And we're all given gifts, right? We've been studying that. And if you filled out the thing, you know what your gift is. And we should be using that gift. I thought of this a little bit of analogies. It's on a football team, quarterback calls the play. And every member of that squad has to execute their assignment or the play won't succeed. If they don't make that block, if they don't take care of that coverage, the play won't be successful and they'll lose the game if they're not all on the same page and not all working and following the quarterback's lead. Well, in a sense, Jesus is our quarterback. He's calling the plays. Are we doing what he says? You know, Jesus talked to his disciples, and he conveyed to them time and time again that he was going to Jerusalem, he was going to be handed over to the Pharisees and scribes and like that, and they were going to put him to death, and third day he would rise again. Did they get it? Nope. They didn't get it. And after he died and rose again, they still didn't get it. But I want us to get it. I want us to really know the Lord in a way that we can be functioning as he would have us function and doing the things that he would have us do so that this body can grow. It seems like we go through the motions, you know? We know and believe in the Bible's the Word of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He came and died for us, and he's gone back to heaven, and he's coming back at any time. We know those things here. Do we believe them well enough that it affects how we live daily in our relationship with people? Do we really see the people around us as lost? Do we really see their needs and try to reach out and meet those needs? And I'd say we need to get to know each other in the body better, so that we can meet each other's needs in prayer and like that. We gather on Sunday night and pray for a multitude of needs, and our world out there is in desperate need. But do we see any fruit for our faith? Do we see people coming in? Do we have conversations with people? Does it lead them to the Lord? And do they come then and fellowship with us and enjoy? I don't see that. I watched the assembly in Minneapolis die. The young people left. It was left with a bunch of old folks. And eventually, it died. The body did not grow. And I don't want this body to die. I want to see it grow. And to grow, it has to have life. It has to have vitality. And we have to be doing what... We can't really see that clock up there. The light is on. If I got 15 minutes, that's fine. But... are we behaving like the Lord could come back at any moment? If we really believe that, I think maybe things in our lives should change a little bit. I know it should change in my life, and I'm saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Are we like Isaiah? Here am I. Send me. We really ask that question of the Lord. And do we wait for an answer? You know, I do my devotions in the morning, and I really don't spend as much time on my knees as I should. And I really think I need to spend more hours just waiting for God to speak to me. I'd love to hear his voice. I get the feeling sometimes of what he wants me to do, and I go on that basis. But hey, Moses heard God talk to him. David had God speak to him. Joshua had God speak to him. And Job went through all those trials and difficulties and had no clue what in the world was going on or why. And God finally spoke to him. He never gave him an answer to his question of why. But as soon as he saw God, as soon as he saw his nature and character, he said, that's enough. That's enough. I want it to be that way with you and me in our lives, that we get to know the Lord in a real deep personal way. I pray the Lord would increase our faith. God has blessed me, you know, like I say, for time and again, I've got two lovely kids, raising their families to fear the Lord. That's a big blessing. He's provided my physical needs. I've been homeless a couple times, but not on the street or anything like that. But God has always provided. Christy and Clint, you know how many times we prayed for them and God has answered. Okay? Now my son, we prayed for a job for him. He got a job. It's not paying as well as we'd like. He's off in D.C. right now. When he comes back, he's going to be still needing a better job, and God can provide that. I'm sure he can. Those are physical needs. But in our spiritual life, are we growing? Are we maturing? Are we seeing God work? Are we seeing him bless us and able to reach out and make a blessing to others? I thought of the woman at the well when Jesus came up to her. And he said, if you knew who it was who was speaking with you. She didn't know. She did find out. He wept over Jerusalem. If you had only known this was the hour of your deliverance, if you had known, but now your house has left you desolate. I don't want that to be an epitaph over the church. If you had known, and if you had really followed me, you could have done so many things. But it's hard. If you give us the faith like David to face the Goliaths that are out there, do we really have that kind of faith? I don't know. But as I grow in my Christian life, I'm seeing God bless me, and he's does miracles for me day after day. I say that God stops the rain for me. He does. Not that it's a big thing, but God can do that. I've got a client in the car, and it's raining. I say, Lord, it'd be nice if it stopped raining, or it'd be nice if there's a parking place up there for us to go when we get there. And he always does it for me. When I was in Vietnam, I had work on the flight line. I had to be out there on Sunday morning when the planes came in, but I wanted to be at church. So I kind of made God a bargain. I said, Lord, you keep the planes clean. That is no write-ups, no deficiencies that I would have to take care of, and I'll go to church. Every Sunday morning, I get to the flight line, plane gets in, no write-ups. I go to church. I come back at noon, the next flight comes in, and I'm working until 7 or 8 o'clock that night. 5 days, six days a week, actually 7 days a week, I'm working morning till night, except Sunday morning, no write-ups on the planes. God's able to do things like that. Do we have the faith to ask him for great things and then watch him work? That's what I want to see from this body. I want us to get to know the Lord in a real personal way so that he's really working. And see, we're seeing blessings. We don't have to just come to meeting on Sunday morning and sing our songs and pray on Sunday night. We should be really seeing God work if we have the faith. And I pray that we do. If we can sing number 557 in our red book here, Joan. Song, we haven't sung. I don't remember us singing this one. Make me a blessing. We thank you, Father, for your great love. You've demonstrated that so many times over the years too in our lives. Each one of us probably have stories that we could tell of how you provided and how you've met our needs and how you've shown your love to us. And Father, you've blessed me in so many ways that I can't count them all. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll guide and help me to be a blessing to others as I go on my daily activities of helping other people. And as we try to encourage this body of believers here, Lord, you'd make each one of them a blessing. Help them to understand what you would have them do and how they can be a blessing to each member of this body, how they can be a blessing to their neighbors, people they come in contact with, and Lord, that souls might be saved, that the body of Christ here might be built up, and that we might see your blessing on our lives. And we'll give you the honor and praise and glory for it in Jesus' name.